Everybody else got their cue right, and I missed mine by a few seconds there. Good to be with you again this morning, and we're starting a new series today, and I think it's really interesting. We're gonna look, this is the only message today that's not based on a prayer of Paul from the whole series. This is based on an interaction with Jesus at the temple, but it's kind of an introduction to the whole idea of looking at prayer in a different way. And then every other week of the series, we're going to look at a different prayer from kind of looking at almost like you're looking into Paul's prayer journal in the New Testament and learning something about prayers for power and wisdom and holiness and love and hope and thank you, prayers that say thank you to God. And then we want to close our time at the end of July and having kind of a concert of prayer on a Sunday morning where we're praying together and we're taking some of the things that we've learned, some of the best lessons that we've learned, and we're praying together on that last Sunday together of that series at the end of July, on July 28th. But today, we want to talk about the whole idea of what's holding you back? What keeps you from getting into God's prayer hammock? What holds you back from just resting in God, reflecting with God, being refreshed with God, and being in that place of continual prayer with God? When you think of prayer, I just want to ask you, what kind of images come to your mind? Because there are different kinds of prayer in God's Word, right? There's intercessory prayers, all different kinds of prayer. But I want you to just think for a moment, just what's the image that comes to your mind when you think of the word prayer? Paul, for the most part, seems to, when he talks about prayer, being talking about this idea of giving things that are on our chest and our shoulders over to God and resting in Him and His power and His might on our behalf to answer those prayers, to intercede with those prayers, to even change and rearrange those prayers and have us maybe pray even in a different way. So when Paul is talking about prayer, and what we're going to study this summer is this whole idea of getting into a hammock of prayer. Have you ever considered that getting into prayer is like just kind of resting in a hammock? You know, when you're in a hammock, what happens? Kind of the weight is taken off of your body, and you're sitting there weightless, and you're suspended. And while you're there, you begin to rest. Maybe you become kind of reflective, and you find yourself taking a little nap, and then you find yourself refreshed at the end of that, right? I had a hammock right down by the Conedogwinet Creek where we lived for a number of years, and I would never go down and get in the hammock. I mean, it looked beautiful down there. It was suspended. It was like 20-some feet long and suspended. It looked nice. I would go down and clean it off. I'd blow it off. But I'd just keep worrying about my day and going about my day. And I'd look down there every once in a while. But man, it'd be nice to go down and get into that hammock. But I had a hard time getting into the hammock because I had other chores to do around the yard. I had other things to do in my life. I, you know, had my dogs to watch. I had my other gardens and vegetables to take care of. You know, I had other things to do, my job and things around the neighborhood that I had volunteered for. And so I just didn't have time. So I'd look down at my hammock and I'd clean off my hammock and I'd never get into my hammock. Anybody else have a problem with that? Stopping, slowing down, resting. We're like, oh, the summer months are here. We're going to slow down. And boy, things just start to speed up, don't they? So I just want to encourage us this summer to take time to get into God's hammock. But getting into the hammock isn't that easy. There's things that keep us from getting into the hammock. A couple of years ago, I was taking a walk over on the Messiah College campus, now Messiah University. It was Messiah College back then. And I graduated from Messiah College, and the church where I was pastoring just a few miles away. So when I wanted to get away, I would go over to Messiah College and just take a walk along the trail down along the creek. And then there's a fitness trail. You can walk up around most of the campus, and lots of people don't even know it's there. So it's nice and quiet. You can take your Bible with you or journal or whatever, and I would do that. And I was walking across, and I came back down to what's called the Swinging Bridge. How many of you have ever seen the Swinging Bridge at Messiah College? Okay, some of you have seen it. Okay, it's a walking suspension bridge that when you walk on it, it swings. So it's called the Swinging Bridge. It can be a little disconcerting the first time or two you go across a swinging bridge, but once you get used to it, you know it's fine, it was structured well, and you're having a good time. But this day I was walking across the swinging bridge, and I heard somebody talking, and it wasn't coming from across the creek where the fields are, and it wasn't coming from behind me. It was coming from below me. And so I thought, oh, it's just some kayakers. Lots of times there's kayakers or people tubing on the creek. And so I looked down there, and lo and behold, it was not kayakers. It wasn't people tubing. It was young men suspended in camping hammocks from the bridge itself. And so I thought, I'm going to take this opportunity to stop and talk to these guys. So I started talking to them, and I said, hey, how did you guys get down there? They said, well, we just climbed down. You know, we just climbed down and over, climbed down, and we rig it up here, and we have our, and they said, hey, we've got an extra hammock. Why don't you come down with us? And I said, you guys obviously haven't seen something. There's an age differential here. Between you guys, there's some flexibility, mobility issues, things here. So I took a pass on that day. And I took my walk up back in my car, but I always thought about that. I even took a couple pictures of them, and I wish I had brought them. I did have the pictures of them. I should have put them on the screen for you to see them. They were very interesting, seeing them hanging down there waving to you. I mean, they're just having a great time. They're suspended, weightless, refreshed, taking a nap. You know, they're having a good time just hanging out over the creek. And I wonder what it would have been like had I taken the moment just to climb down there and get in the hammock and rest. Maybe I would have fallen and broken my leg in the creek, or maybe I would have had a really nice time. I don't know. I will never know, because I didn't take that opportunity, although it was given to me to get in that hammock and be restful and reflecting. So I just want to talk this morning about a passage of scripture where Jesus sees, and he's going to the temple, and he sees this lack of his people, and the people that are coming to the temple, the throngs of people to the temple, just around Passover time, so people are coming from all over the globe to come to the temple and to celebrate Passover, and he sees all these people coming in, but he notices something. They can't get in the hammock. They can't stop and rest and delight in God and reflect in God. There's all this activity going on. And he notices one thing that keeps them from getting in the hammock. The first thing is what keeps us from getting into God's hammock? Perhaps it's performance. He sees this performance mentality going on in the temple. Now, performance is a mindset that says that we must impress God in some way for him to be impressed with us. Okay, so performance is this whole idea of we got to impress God some way so he can be impressed with us, and then but God is not interested in being impressed. The problem is he's interested in nurturing a trusting relationship between us as we climb into this hammock of prayer. But we have this mindset that can keep us, and sometimes it's our mindset. I have to perform. I have to say certain words. I have to have a journal. I have to pray a certain way. I'm probably praying the wrong way. Why is it as Christians we usually feel like we're not praying enough or we're praying the wrong way? Does anybody else struggle with that? I struggle with that. I've been a believer for years. And there's so many times, oh, I'm not praying the right way. Oh, I'm not saying the right words. Oh, I'm not doing the right things. Oh, I don't pray enough. Oh, I don't journal enough prayers. Oh, I don't. And you know, you kind of, and what do you do the whole time you're doing that? You're looking at your own performance rather than the practice of prayer, right? And so you're not moving into prayer. You're not stepping into prayer. It's keeping you, that whole mindset of performing. It says that Jesus entered the temple and he began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. In one of the other gospels, it says that he wields a whip and he clears the floor. Jesus is ticked when we can't get direct access to the Father. If there's any mindset within us, is there any practice within us, he wants to chase it out. He wants to remove all obstacles to prayer. At the end of this passage, he says, and my house will be called what? A house of prayer. A direct connection. A place where when they come, people know, oh, I got a direct connection. I don't have to say the right words. I don't have to perform a certain way. I don't have to lead a certain lifestyle. I don't have to get all my stuff together before I can pray. I just come and I can pray directly to God at any time. I can get into the hammock and pray with God and be with God. So why was he so upset about this? Well, you got to know there was a structure in the temple, in the temple, there was the holy place in the Holy of Holies, okay? And that was really the inner place of the temple. That's where the priest went in, did sacrifices once a year, and they were the only ones allowed in there, right? But then there was all of these courts that were built around the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And these different courts were these. There was a court of the Gentiles, and if you were a Gentile, you could come in, you could do some worship, you could give, you could pay a tax to the temple, you could buy a dove for a sacrifice, you could kind of try to get in on the whole thing that the Jewish people were doing, but you could go no further. If you were ever caught as a Gentile going any further into any other courts, you would be killed. Your life would be taken. So there's also the court of women, there was the court of the Israelites, and then of course there was the court of the priests. So all these courts were around there, and the largest court was the court of the Gentiles. And this is where this scene took place with Jesus. And this is what was going on in the scene. There were two things going on there. We know from the text and we know from the time that the first thing was going on was money changing, because people were coming from all over the world. They were trying to pay a temple tax. They were also, and they were exchanging money. So it's like you going to another country, you know, you exchange money or currency. But there was a huge upcharge that they were charging these people to exchange their currency that was somewhere around 100%. It was crazy. They were taking advantage of them because what? These people wanted to connect with God. These people were coming into that court expecting to connect with God. But what they were getting was this whole idea of they had to jump through hoops to get to God. The second thing that was going on was this purchase of doves as a sacrifice. And the dove needed to be without blemish. So what happened was they would inspect the dove. So they would look at the doves and they would reject it. No, you brought this dove. It's not, you know, it's not without blemish. It's not suitable for a sacrifice. It can't be. But we have these beautiful doves right over here. You know, send before midnight tonight. Get your dove. Buy your dove. And by the way, they would charge about 70% more for a dove. It would be like 4 pence or so outside the temple. It would be about 70 to 80 inside of the temple. And so what? These people are trying to get to God, but there's these barriers to God, these performance barriers. And they're kind of, what the people that are, they're buying and selling, the people that are exchanging money, they're kind of playing on that whole idea that most of us somehow believe inside, that we have to jump through hoops to get to God. And so they're kind of playing on that. They know that exists. They know that people kind of believe that. And so they just kind of play on it. And they make money on it. And they get us into this whole performance mentality that you've got to jump through hoops to get to God. Or you got to get what? Through this corn maze to get to God. You can't just have direct access to God. You can't just come in and have direct access to God. And Jesus is ticked because anytime something gets in the way of direct access, he wants to remove it. He wants to cast it out, drive it out, get it out. It doesn't belong there, because all of us have the ability to have direct access with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Jesus says, I've come to give direct access. What's going on here? Performance mentality tells us that we have to say the right words, have the right track record, come from the right family. How many of you know who Yosemite Sam is? Yosemite, there's four of us in the room know who Yosemite Sam is. You know, from Bugs Bunny. Well, Yosemite Sam plays a number of different characters. One, he is Yosemite Sam. One, he is like Hessian the Aggression. And one, he's a cook. And he's this cook and he's chef. And the king that he is cooking for doesn't like what he's made, and he keeps throwing the food at him, and he keeps telling him he wants a dish called Hassenpfeffer. Hassenpfeffer is rabbit stew, of course. So this is, you know, he's going to go try to get Bugs Bunny and cook him, and, you know, you have the whole thing going on there. But here's what happens after a while. After about two or three of these rejections by the king, Yosemite Sam will stick his head as the chef in the door and go, Your Royal Majesty, Highness, Kingness, Sirness. And he's trying to come up with any possible name or any address he can get to get some sort of entree with this king so he doesn't get kicked back out and so he makes the right thing. And sometimes I feel like we're coming into prayer and we're doing the same thing. Jesus, the holiness and faithfulness, Jesus. You know, we're kind of mumbling on and on and on. And Jesus is just saying, just tell me you love me. Just come into my presence. Just say thank you, Jesus. I used to love it when our youth pastor, and he was here, and he preached a number of weeks ago. Matt Boyer was here. When Matt would get up, or I'd ask him to pray in a service, he would just go, good morning, Jesus. We love you. Just so authentic, so real, so stepping into the hammock. Not presupposing anything, because Jesus says, I've come to make a direct connection. Grab a hold of it. And let anything that pushes that out, anything that gets in the way, that performance mindset, let it be pushed away. It says in the scriptures, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind yourself, and pray to your Father in private. And then your Father, who sees everything that is done in secret, will reward you. Your Father says, come get in the hammock. And the reward is you get to be with your Father in the hammock. You get to hang out with the Father of the universe. And Jesus is in there, and the Holy Spirit is keeping the hammock all nice and balanced for you. And the Trinity is there with you in the hammock. And you get to be blessed in that hammock, and you get to rest in that hammock. And you get to tell God everything that's on your shoulders. You get to just offload it into his more than capable hands. So many times I'm holding way too much on my shoulders. Way too much on my shoulders. And I need to just say, Lord, it's yours. Jesus, it's yours. Let's just put our hands up in the air this morning. And as a sign of surrender, let's just say, Jesus, it's whatever is on your mind and your heart, your soul, whatever you've been holding. And let's just say together on three, Jesus, it's all yours. One, two, three. Jesus, it's all yours. Do you know you can do that at any moment, any second, any time of the day? You don't have to come to church on Sunday morning to do that. You can do that in your car, especially if you have a Tesla and you've paid the extra $5,000 for the self-driving thing. You could do that.
For your self-drive.
If you don't have that, don't take both hands off the wheel. Just one. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. Right. Or pull off the road. Anywhere you can be gardening, you can be, take that time, just stop. So I'm going to start praying at this time and this day. No, you're riding your bike, you're in your kayak, you're taking a walk, you're making dinner, you're running the lawnmower. What a great time to pray, amen? Sweet hour of prayer. If you're at my house, it's sweet 2.5 hours of prayer. Every moment, every day, we have that access. You know, Nadine Hess serves as our lay minister of prayer, and she found this helpful prayer pattern for us that we're going to use alongside of this summer series, and it's called the Rest Prayer Pattern, and I will butcher this gal's name if I try to say it. So this gal put this together for us, and that was very nice of her, and then Nadine found it for us, and so we're just going to give it to you. It's REST, R-E-S-T, you can see. Recite God's goodness, express your neediness, seek his stillness, and trust his faithfulness. So we want to give it to you this summer as just the ability to be able to stop and say, I'm going to recite God's goodness. What's going on today where God is good to me? You know, we sing and we say, we read scriptures, God is good all the time God is good. But it's good to give gratitude to the Lord, right? And to start there with reciting God's goodness and then expressing our neediness. God, I need your help with this. I'm not wise enough to figure this out. I know that I have way too much anxiety about this. I think about it way too much, and I don't pray about it enough. I'm just going to give it to you right now. I have a lot of neediness, God. We don't like to express our neediness. But if we express, we're a needy people. We have needs, and we need him, and we can't get through this life without him. It's good to just express those needs to God. And then seek his stillness. After we've expressed that he is good, and we've given our needs to him, it's just like, Lord, I just want this still, quiet time with you in this hammock. To receive your goodness and your care and to praise you, maybe worship him. And then the last thing, just trust his faithfulness. Just say, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there's no shadow of turning with me, with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, what? New mercies I see. All I've needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Just take time. Take time with God and let him know about his faithfulness, and you're aware of his faithfulness to you. Jesus was enraged that that place of prayer, the temple, was some place where prayer was blocked and not opened up. John 2:15 says, Jesus made a whip from some ropes and he chased them out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle. He scattered the money changers' coin to the floor and he turned over the temples. I want to ask you this question. What does Jesus need to drive out of you so you can join him in God's hammock? Is it a performance mentality? Is it trying to get it right? Is it being too busy? Is it not just praying in the moment? What is it that's keeping you from God's hammock? Number two, before we get ready to take communion this morning, what's keeping you from God's hammock? Is it brokenness? Is it brokenness? You know, brokenness is a barrier that gains ground in our life when we begin believing that our flaws and our failures and our wounds make us unacceptable to God. That we can't come to God because we haven't cleaned up our act well enough yet, or we haven't gotten it together yet. Well, the good news of the gospel is you don't clean up your act. You come to God with your act all messed up, and he cleans it up through Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the spotless lamb. He's the holy sacrifice, not you. You give yourself to him, but he's the sacrifice for your sin and your brokenness and your loss and your wounds. It's interesting that in Matthew 21:14, after Jesus does this and he clears the temple, look who shows up. They get word that Jesus has done this. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. He opened up the door for this connection with God. And it was a place of healing. This was a stark contrast because you didn't bring broken things to the temple. Let me say that again. In their belief system, you don't bring broken things to the temple. So if you got some brokenness, what? You hide it. You keep it away. And you don't let, they didn't let broken people come into the courts of the temple. They had to stay outside and send somebody else in because they were broken, because they were wounded, because they were lame or blind. The sacrifice required of the temple was a spotless one because it represented Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. But again, people were taking this too far. They were blocking access. They were, you know, looking over the doves and they're not good enough and, you know, you're not performing well enough, or you're not jumping through enough hoops. You can't expect to get to God if you don't jump through hoops and hide flaws and keep things back. You know, that's just the way it works. Many of the people coming into the court of the Gentiles had traveled a distance. They'd paid a large amount of money only to be rejected or to have to pay 20, 30, 40, up to 70 times the amount that they should have. The message was clear to them. You're defective. Your sacrifice is defective. Jump through the hoops. Dig deeper into your pockets. Pay up. It's going to cost you dearly if you want to make a connection with God today. What's keeping you from connecting with God? Let me ask you this question. What do you do when you're one of those broken people? When all that you have is a broken sacrifice to bring to God, and the broken sacrifice is you? You don't have anything else. What do you do? Do you stay at a distance? Or do you say, oh, that's the good news. The good news. Having vacation Bible school in a couple weeks and celebrating the good news. What's the good news? Is that you come broken and Jesus broke himself. He's whole. He broke himself so you can be whole and healed and have a direct connection with God through prayer. That's the good news. In his book, Embracing Brokenness, Alan Nelson tells the story of when his children were young. They were young children, and when they would get tired and they were traveling or they were on a hike and they would need a lift, they would just look up to him or his wife, and they were just young kids, and they would say, put their hands up, and they would say, Apple, Apple, which was their term, which meant, please pick me up, have mercy on me, and carry me the rest of the way. Put me on your shoulders, put me on your back, put me in your knapsack somehow, put me on your hip, you know, just Apple, pick me up. Help me, all right? And he says this in his book, the spirit of brokenness helps us reach our arms out to the Father saying, Apo, carry me. I'm weak. I'm too little to do it on my own. I surrender. Maybe the only thing that's been keeping you from prayer is just saying to God, pick me up. I can't do this on my own. I can't take the next step. I can't do the next leg of this journey without you. I need you to pick me up and carry me and empower me for this journey that's ahead of me. You know, I missed an opportunity that day to get in a hammock with those young men at Messiah College. You know what they said to me? They said to me, it's okay, we can help you. It's okay, we help one another get in the hammock. We can help you. You know what? Sometimes we need help getting into God's hammock. Amen? We just need our brothers and sisters around us. At the end of this service, we're going to take communion just in a few minutes, and then we'll have a closing, just a closing prayer, the Lord's Prayer that was rewritten for us by our children, and we're going to read that together, and then we'll dismiss. And I would ask that when we dismiss, that anybody who wants to stay for prayer, just come forward. There'll be different prayer partners and people here to meet with you, maybe sit in a pew and sit and pray with you and help you. But for those who just don't want to do that, that's fine. No judgment zone here. But just go quietly and get your coffee and have your conversation in the lobby as those join for prayer here. So we'll have some time for that at the end of the service. I just want to say this. If you're somebody who just feels like you need somebody else to help you get in that hammock today, do it. Because God's word says this. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well. If you've committed sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Notice the power of community here in prayer. Pray for one another. Ask for anointing. Ask for that. So if you need that kind of encouragement today, a little bit later on we have it for you. You know, it says that Jesus made this whip and he drove things out of the temple. What does Jesus need to drive out of you so you can join him in God's hammock today? I want this question to stay up here as we pass out the bread and the cup right now. And as Logan comes, you just play quietly for us. And we get the bread in the cup. I just want us to focus on this. You can start passing out the bread in the cup. We're going to have some quiet music as we reflect on this question. And then we'll take communion together. What does Jesus need to drive out so that you can join him in God's hammock today? Just reflect on that. And we'll take communion together in just a moment.